Hello, my name is Marlene, and I'd like to welcome you to Vegan Nation. Vegan Nation is an informational program featuring vegan music, news, events, and interviews about the vegan evolution revolution happening worldwide, manifesting a paradigm of peace, health, wellness, liberation, and sustainability.
And one for all and all for another.
We're listening to Nellie Mackay. Soon we'll be joined by Victoria Moran and Carlos Garcia. We'll be hearing about Miss Liberty, the movie, A Taste of Freedom.
Change comes for the better if you want it. Our change will come. Stop eating that burger. All you all Americans eating that mother. Give the chef my compliments, eating that torture. Won't you let your conscience warm you? I for that mother, you can't see suffer.
Vegan Nation has been on here since 2015. I'd like to thank all the listeners for tuning in. And I am thrilled and honored that we are joined by Victoria Moran in New York City and also Carlos Garcia. And we are going to be discussing the feature film in development called Miss Liberty, the movie, A Taste of Freedom. This is a first-of-its-kind family feature film. And Victoria Moran is the co-screenwriter and producer, along with her husband, Reverend William Melton. And Carlos Garcia is the development coordinator. Welcome, Victoria and Carlos, and thank you very much for joining us on Vegan Nation.
Thanks, Marlene.
Thank you, Marlene. Great to be here.
Great to be speaking with both of you again. Again, I'm honored that you've both been guests on Vegan Nation a few years ago. So this is great to be back and hearing about this new development. Wow. So, Victoria, let's hear about the storyline of Miss Liberty.
Miss Liberty is a cow who escapes from a slaughterhouse, but this is not a documentary about an actual occurrence. Miss Liberty is a composite of all of the amazing animals who have sought their freedom. She's a used-up dairy cow, and in a little traffic altercation at the slaughterhouse in a small Midwestern town, she manages to escape and wind up in the yard of a computer tech who's owed money by the slaughterhouse. So he takes it to his lawyer, who has always known that this slaughterhouse is not operating according to convention and a little bit outside the law. So he brings his NYU classmate from New York out to the Midwest to see if they can really do something with this case. So Cow Patty is the lawyer. She's a wonderful vegan protagonist who goes out to see what can be done for Miss Liberty and a whole lot more. And what we're really proud of in this story is that it's so richly textured.
Thank you, Miss Liberty.
We are so proud that this is a darn good story. So whether people are interested in farmed animals or not, they're going to stay with it just because it is so gripping. There's a wonderful subplot about the workers in the slaughterhouse and the way that they're exploited. There's a little bit of romance. There's a lot of humor. And there is a surprise ending that is positively dazzling.
Beautiful. Thank you. And Victoria, in 2014, so 10 years ago, I came to hear you speak at Worcester Veg Fest that was being held in downtown Worcester, Massachusetts. You had told a story, speaking of storylines, and I've always remembered this, about a dairy cow that you had met when you were on a tour, miraculously, because most people aren't allowed into slaughterhouses, but you somehow managed to get inside a slaughterhouse, and the owner or the manager allowed you to witness. And you had witnessed this dairy cow. So whenever I heard of the film Miss Liberty, I thought, oh, I wonder if any of that had any connection to what you experienced when you told that story.
I think it did. My husband was actually the creator of Miss Liberty. I'm a nonfiction author. I mean, I have books out in the world like Main Street Vegan and The Love Powered Diet. I have a new one coming in the winter, Age Like a Yogi. So I write basically self-help books, nonfiction. I produced a documentary. So I'm kind of a just the facts, ma'am kind of person. I don't think up storylines and characters and put dialogue in their mouths. But my husband realized that he really had the gift for doing that. And yet he had known me at that time for about 12 years. And through that and through becoming vegetarian and then vegan himself, the storyline developed. But I'm really happy to share about that experience in my life in the slaughterhouse, because I had never been in a slaughterhouse, even though I had been writing about the conditions there for quite some time. And when this was all taking place, it was a really difficult time in my life because my first husband had died and our daughter was pretty young. And so I had this idea that I should move to the country where I could have a simpler life. Only thing is, I had no skills for living in the country. It was absolutely miserable. And was talking to someone down there and mentioned, you know, my plight. And she said, well, I know you write as a vegan and all that, and my husband's friend owns a slaughterhouse, and I know if you just smile pretty, he'd show you anything you want to see. So that was how the thing started. So we came up with this story that I was a home economics graduate student, and this man very proudly took me through the family business, and it was really like spending a day in hell. The smell, the sounds, the plight of the workers. I thought I was going to go there and just be really upset and angry with these workers, but what I came to see was they were almost as exploited as the animals. They were working in a refrigerator, standing ankle deep in blood. So it was at the end of the day that this story happened that you were alluding to. I had spent like 7 hours in this surrealistic horror scenario, and it was about time to go, thank goodness. But as I was standing there waiting for my ride, this family farmer drove up with his little pickup truck and let some of these used up dairy cows out to go to slaughter. Now, so many people say, well, I only get my animal products from humane farms, etc. You know, it's such a betrayal. I mean, factory farming is hideously cruel, and the very best of family farming is a deceitful betrayal. We care about you until the day we send you to be killed. So this cow obviously knew people. She watched the other couple of cows go up that ramp and disappear, and she didn't want any part of it, so she just planted her hooves into that conveyor belt. She wasn't going anywhere. And then the guy with the captive bolt pistol whistled to her. And when he did, she kind of cocked her head, so much like what a dog would do if somebody whistled at him or her. And you could just almost see that this cow was wrestling with what she was hearing and smelling, and with her trust for humans. And she went with the trust, and she was shot with the bolt and hoisted up for death. That was the end of her. And as I experienced that, and I thought about the people who would buy her parts and pieces in a few days, you know, nice people, people that love their children and give to charity and all the things, but they didn't know her. And so that's why I always feel the need to tell her story when I can. And now with Miss Liberty, we'll be going out to those people who want to be great people. We all want to be great people. Society has just told them, as it told all of us, that this is just normal. They're only animals. That's what they're put here for. You need the protein. And all those other myths and lies. And I feel for that lovely cow and for all the others, their story has to get out there. And not just cows, chickens and pigs and everybody else.
Thank you, Victoria. Thank you very much. And your team at Miss Liberty, the movie. And Carlos, I'd like to hear how you ended up being involved with this movie. Again, I've been following your work, your fabulous work and your music from your time in Hawaii and then also throughout California. So how did you end up back in New York City?
Well, I don't know if you knew, but I was born here in the Bronx. But I haven't lived here much other than just as a kid and little spurts here and there. But I've been living in Hawaii and L.A. for most of my life and went back to California to go take care of some family things. And I got a call from a friend who's from Hawaii who said she's got a friend in New York who has been working on this script and that I should look at it. And she told me who it was. And at that time, I didn't know who Victoria was. Hawaii is a world away from New York. So, you know, you don't know everybody. But anyway, she sent me this script, and it was just such a great story. And one of the characters, the guy who starts out in the film as a slaughterhouse foreman. And this was written mostly, 12, 14 years ago. And that character's name is Carlos Garcia. So that kind of threw me against the wall. What more of a sign do I need to be involved with this?
Mm-hmm.
So I let my friend in Hawaii know, and within a couple hours, Victoria called. We were on the phone an hour or two and just talking. And, you know, that's kind of how it all started. And then I told her I was going to be in New York in the summer. So we met up for lunch, and I came up to her place a couple times while I was here. And we kind of left it at that. You know, we weren't sure what was next. But anyway, a few months later, found out that she really wants to do a fundraiser to get the funds needed to develop the film. So we worked out something and a timing, and I came here, the end of March, and I've been here since. It's almost July now to put together this fundraiser, and it turned out better than I ever even imagined.
Oh, it was dazzling, Marlene. I wish you could have been here.
The space, the food, the entertainment, what Victoria said, and just the vibe. And, you know, we had this look, these floor-to-ceiling windows in this loft overlooking the Hudson River and, you know, the other part of town. And we had this whole floor taken over. And we had Mike Kaplan, a comedian. He had people in hysterical. We had Nellie Mackay, incredible pianist. I don't know if you know about her, but incredible pianist, vegan, civil rights person. Her music, like I said, she's like this classical pianist and sings, plays ukulele, harmonica, and she just has such a beautiful way of presenting herself and the whole vegan message.
And you let me down slowly. You let me down slow and you turn me around. Let me down easy. Let yourself go, now you're going to town. Baby, baby, can't you see what this futility is doing to me? We should have kicked over the ladder from the start. There's no equality.
We're listening to Nellie Mackay. Tune in to Vegan Nation. I'm your host, Molly Narrow in Worcester, Massachusetts. We'll be taking a short break, and then we'll continue our conversation featuring Carlos Garcia and Victoria Moran in New York City as we discuss the new feature film in production, Miss Liberty, the movie, A Taste of Freedom.
Nobody knows the trouble I've seen. No one supposes just how mean I can be. I play the victim, but I'm really a cad. And all I've ever wanted's everything I'm gonna have. There's no equality here. There's no equality on earth, I fear. There are so many to martyr, to boss and to barter. It's me or it's you. That's why I let you down slowly. I let you down slow and I turn you around. Let you down easy. Let myself go, now we're both set to drown. Baby, baby, can't you see what this absurdity is doing to me? We should have kicked over the ladder from the start. There's no equality.
Welcome back from the break. Thank you very much for joining us on Vegan Nation. I'm your host, Marlena Massachusetts. The views in this program do not necessarily reflect the views and opinions of the station nor its management. We're featuring the first of its kind family feature film in production, Miss Liberty, the movie, A Taste of Freedom. We're joined by Victoria Moran, co-screenwriter and co-producer in New York City. And also joining us from New York City via Skype, both of them, is Carlos Garcia. Here's Carlos. Beautiful. And I have to say, that fundraiser you had, I had the opportunity to see the video of it. Carlos, I think you had it on your social media page. And it is beautiful what you described with the windows and the sun. And then seeing this lovely vegan woman that was Nellie. Her music is awesome.
Yeah, she's incredible. And she just pretty much volunteered to do this because of who she is. She came from, what, Pennsylvania or New Jersey or somewhere, you know, and, you know, basically gave her time.
And was that fundraiser? I'm sorry, was that fundraiser last week?
2 weeks ago. The 12th of June.
Oh.
Yeah, my time is like, this 3 months is blended into like 10 seconds and 10 years at the same time.
Yes. I feel the same way.
Yes. Victoria. Yeah. Victoria, I'd like to hear more about the audience for Miss Liberty.
Well, this is one of the most exciting things about the film as a whole, that we are very actively not seeking to preach to the choir, that this is a really good movie. If it were not even about a cow, if it didn't even have this ethical vegan message, it would be a wonderful story, a story that you want to keep watching. It's for the whole family. And I think a lot of people will kind of get it a little bit later of, oh, wow, this was about a dairy cow? Gosh, they slaughter dairy cows. I never thought about that. Slaughterhouse. Gosh, I never think about a slaughterhouse. I just get my meat at the grocery store. And we're believing that through the power of story, just like other amazing movies, I mean, Guess Who's Coming to Dinner, or Norma Rae, or Philadelphia, these kinds of movies that told a great story and absolutely changed hundreds of thousands of people's views on a social issue.
Thank you, Victoria. We're joined by Victoria Moran and also Carlos Garcia. They're joining us via Skype in New York City. And we're discussing the new film, the feature film in development, Miss Liberty, the movie, A Taste of Freedom. You're tuned into Vegan Nation. I'm your host, Molly Narrow in Worcester, Massachusetts. Well, this is very exciting to hear about the storyline and, Carlos, how you became involved in the development of this film. Carlos, could you explain that again a little bit about sharing your name, Carlos Garcia, for those who might have missed the first half of the show?
Oh, yeah. It's just that when someone sent me the script to look at last year, although it was an amazing story, one of the characters' name was Carlos Garcia, which is exactly my name. Not Joe Garcia, not Carlos Gonzalez, Carlos Garcia. So, you know, I don't even have a middle name myself, you know. So it was like, that sounds like something to be involved with, the story. My name is in there. They didn't even know who I was 14 years ago. It's all just too much. And the way it all went in this last 3 months and the turnout, and I was telling her the look on our crowd, the people that were there with these big hearts, big smiles, they were laughing, they were looking at each other, and just, I mean, I it couldn't have been any better. You know, the film is the only thing that's going to make it better. looking at that.
And the other thing I found really cool about the audience and the guests at the fundraiser was that they were so diverse. And it was all ages. It was, you know, there were people there with means, because obviously it was a fundraiser. And there were people there who didn't have many means, but they were contributing what they could, and they were contributing their big-heartedness. And we looked around, and this was a cross-section of America. And that's the goal, really, for veganism. When I first went vegan 40 years ago and vegetarian before that, it was this little group of kind of hippies and people who watched PBS, and we were a distinct type. But now we're not a type other than compassionate, and we come from all socioeconomic groups and all ethnic places and all backgrounds, and we just care about these animals. And that's what's so exciting, because we're going to be growing this compassionate world by everybody in every community. And that's what we saw that night.
Yes, indeed. Thank you. Thank you, Victoria. Thank you, Carlos. Thank you very much. And your team at Miss Liberty, the movie. And so where are you now with Miss Liberty, the movie?
Well, we're finishing phase one, which means that we have the funds to move forward, get a production budget, attach some of these actors. And then as we move into phase two of development, we will be filling out the cast. We will be codifying the fact that this director who is interested is indeed our director. And then we'll be able, hopefully, with the box office power of this female star that we're hoping to get, we'll be able to sell foreign rights to the film before we even start production. And the sale of those foreign rights will fund much of production, and there will probably still need to be some more investment work done. That will be out of my hands. I'm a writer, you know, that's more on the business side. But once the production funding is in place, then the locations will be scouted, the cast and crew will be assembled, and we'll be filming, hopefully, next summer of 2025, with any luck.
Great. Thank you. Thank you. And Carlos, mm-hmm. We're coming to a close in the interview for today. Is there any message that you'd like to add in?
Well, I want to add that to you, saying you saw Victoria speak, I don't know, some 8 or 10 years ago. You know, like I said, I never really knew of her. And to be able to spend most of these last 3 months, you know, with her has been an honor for me, because she's so respected, and I respect what she does, not because other people respect her. It's because, you know, I value her and her place with books everywhere, Victoria Moran, and, you know, does yoga for her building for free. And, I mean, she's such a devoted person to all of this, and I feel pretty honored to have been able to do this. I mean, even when I was, you know, soliciting companies to help, you know, donate for a fundraiser, some of them were like, Victoria, yeah, what do you want? Just what do you want? You know, just anything, whatever. Boy, that was easy, you know. Or I won't say any names specifically, but it was amazing. Some of them were just like, they're happy to do this.
Well, you know what? Let's say one name. And that is Peace Food Cafe, because we had food from many wonderful donors, and lots of restaurants were part of our silent auction. But Peace Food Cafe, there's two locations in New York City. If anybody comes to New York City, do eat at Peace Food Cafe. These are the kindest, most decent people. They're vegans, and they meditate every day. And they donated hors d'oeuvres and sweets. And, you know, sometimes you can just put a little extra soul in the food, a little extra spirit. So it's great because it's vegan, but it's also great because there's a lot of love there. So I think we got both. Marlene, if your listeners want to learn more about Miss Liberty, and thank you for saying the whole name of the website, it's MissLibertyTheMovie.com. And people can sign up there for updates and kind of, you know, follow the production once it gets started. So it'll be like we're all kind of there making a movie.
yeah, we've got a nice endorsement video on there too, with you know, the rock stars of the vegan movement, and you know, we want to make this happen.
Yes, indeed.
And a lot of other people do too.
Yes, thank you. You rock, Carlos, and Victoria, you're an angel. Thank you very much, and thank you so much for joining us on Vegan Nation.
Thanks, Marlene. All the best.
Thank you, Marlene. Always great to work with you on these, and thank you again for doing all that you do for the vegan world, the vegan movement.
Thank you.
Well, thanks again. I'm so grateful. Okay. Thanks. Okay, take care.
Bye.
Take care. Bye-bye.
Bye-bye.
I met him at a protest, dolled up in his finest finery, a Malcolm X t-shirt and a tambourine. To love him it was hopeless, the cannons fairly shook the barricade. We came in at the chorus, I could hear him say, eating that burger, past the kitchen, the condiments, eating that mutter, don't that a hot sauce hit the spot, eating that torture, don't you let your conscience harm you, I for that mother can't see you suffer. And one for all and all for another, a long October under the sun. Change comes for the better if you want it. Our change will come. Hey you! Eating that burger, pasta, kitchen, the condiments, eating that mother. Don't that hot sauce hit spot, eating that torture. Yeah, you show such understanding, I but that mother can't see you suffer.
This is Nellie Mackay. Much thanks to Nellie Mackay for sharing her music. This is Unknown Reggae, from her recording at the Kennedy Center, 2023. Earlier in the program, we heard a snippet of No Equality.
And one for all and all for another, a long October under the sun. Change comes for the better if you want it. Change will come. Stop eating that burger, all you all Americans, eating that mother. Give the chef my compliments, eating that torture. Won't you let your conscience warm you, I for that mother you can't see suffer.
For those who don't know, most all hamburger is the flesh of dismembered mothers from the dairy industry. I dedicate this song to them. And I'd also like to thank Victoria Moran and Carlos Garcia and the team at Miss Liberty, the movie, A Taste of Freedom. And much thanks to our listeners for tuning in to Vegan Nation. I'm your host, Marlene in Massachusetts. Please join us again next week at the same time. You can hear this program again at vegansradio.com. This is Marlene, Massachusetts, wishing you a safe and pleasant day. Hello, my name is Marlene, and I'd like to welcome you to Vegan Nation. Vegan Nation is an informational program featuring vegan music, news, events, and interviews about the vegan evolution revolution happening worldwide, manifesting a paradigm of peace, health, wellness, liberation, and sustainability. The views in this program do not necessarily reflect the views and opinions of the station nor its management. I'd like to thank all our listeners for tuning in to Vegan Nation. very honored that we are joined by Rob McNeil in New Zealand. Rob is the executive president and treasurer of the Animal Justice Party New Zealand, a political party that was founded in 2022 and registered in 2023. So we'll hear all about this and their fascinating work. AJP, NZ, welcome, Rob, and thank you very much for joining us on Vegan Nation.
Thank you very much for having me. It's a real honor to be here.
I'm greatly honored, and thank you for all you do. So let's start right out hearing about the need for political activism and how you were motivated to co-found this political party in New Zealand.
Well, it's been a real team effort, but there's no doubt that there's a need for political activism in the world. My training has taught me that we need to be active everywhere, at the grassroots level, in media organizations like your fine organization, and in politics as well. So to be active in all spheres. It seems to me over time I've learned that what we seem to lack most is money and power, and politics is literally all about power, who has it and how it's used. So that was it. The direct motivation was our colleagues in Australia at the Animal Justice Party had successfully formed a party of about 10 or 12 years earlier and gone on to have at one time four state politicians elected. So they'd done really well and are still very strong on animal issues. So that was somewhat inspirational for us. And we found out through research that if we could get 500 people to sign up as registered members, then we would get $70,000 in every election cycle of free advertising. And the name Animal Justice would be on the ballot for every New Zealander when they went into a voting booth. So that was motivation enough.
Wonderful. So I'd love to hear about some of the things that you've done with you and your team, of course, with the Animal Justice Party New Zealand.
Yeah, it's definitely all a team effort. We've got some amazing folk, graphic designers, activists, policy people. It's a real team effort. And we're just getting started. We were only registered about a month before the election, but we were still able to run 17 candidates out of 72 possible electorates, and really working on a shoestring budget with very limited time. But we could see that just by being active in the political sphere, the language and the behavior of some of the other parties changed. And at all the debates and events that we attended, we could just tell that animal issues were treated in a different way. Specifically, we've been working on a mix of trying to get the party stronger and also active projects for animals. So some of those projects for animals include the fact that live export of mother cows, which was something New Zealand's done for many years, was banned by the previous government. But the new government, they ran on a platform of repealing that ban. So they're looking to reinstitute live export of cows, which is an absolutely crazy practice to take these poor cows and put them on a rust bucket ship and send them off to China. In fact, one of those ships even sank with a loss of 6,000 cows and 43 people a couple of years ago. So we're working hard to, along with many other groups, to make sure that live export is not brought in and other things as well. We're just currently launching a project that we hope will have wide appeal, which is looking at the fact that we have overflowing dog shelters and very limited information on cat euthanization and killing here in New Zealand. And so we're launching a campaign called Pawsitive, which aims to shed light on the 50-odd dogs a week that are being killed in New Zealand and some really outdated practices and pounds, including the legal use of bolt guns to kill dogs. So we're really trying to find different angles to bring animal issues to the fore in New Zealand and get people's attention. And hopefully along that journey, get into some more fundamental issues such as farm animals and the evil impacts of animal agriculture.
Thank you, Rob. And I'd like to go back later in the interview and talk more about the mother cows. We, as all animal liberation activists, realize what a challenge we have. So can you please talk about understanding power and the levers that operate it?
Absolutely. I'll do my best. And I'm just learning as we go along as well. But as I said before, politics is power. Who's got it and how it's used? And we've seen before that, we can push hard for laws to change and be successful. And then a new government comes along and just reverses everything. So we need to be active, obviously, in the legal sphere and in the grassroots, but also politics. I could quote Martha Gellhorn, who's an American novelist, I believe. She said that people often say with pride, I'm not interested in politics. They might as well say, I'm not interested in my standards of living, my health, my jobs, my rights, my freedoms, my future, or any future. If we mean to keep any control over our world and lives, we must be interested in politics. And I really hold that to my heart, that we can ask, we can speak truth to power, but there's no substitute for being in power. We don't have any unrealistic expectation that the Animal Justice Party, that the AJP, is going to be running the government anytime soon. But we can influence other parties, having them pick up our policies. We can meet with them. We can make sure that animals are in the room when the big decisions are being made. And we think that's really valuable. But we really need to build capacity to fight these the big money that's arrayed against us.
Yes, thank you. And I'd also like to ask what people can do to help. But before we go into that, I would love to hear more, even personal stories or the stories of the animals. So let's start with those mother cows.
Sure. A couple of things in terms of the live export. It is a crazy thing to think of these young kind of excess cows to the dairy industry that are packaged up and shipped off in these boats to China. You see the trucks being paraded into the ports and then loaded, and then spending 3 weeks or more traveling on these multi-deck ships with waste being dumped overseas after it kind of filters down between the decks. So you've got mother cows living in their own excrement, giving birth on board, often being, their bodies being thrown overboard when they pass away on the ships. Most of these ships are just converted container ships, and then to arrive at the other end in China to go into the dairy industry for a period, and then obviously eventually killed as well, is something that really has torn at the heartstrings of New Zealanders, and a significant majority has supported the ban. Of course, the industry says, well, this is extra money we're losing here, and so they want to reverse it. But there's a petition that's going to be presented down in Parliament next week. I'll be going down for that with 50,000 plus signatures on it, and we really think we've got a good chance of not having this ban brought in. The dairy industry is the meat industry, is the slaughter industry. And, on a personal note, I feel very strongly about abolitionism, about the need to stop the slaughter. And, coincidentally, it's the four-year anniversary yesterday of Regan Russell, the activist who passed away after she was run over by a pig truck in outside of Toronto. And I went to the scene that day to see her blood washed off the streets. And, all she was doing was peacefully protesting pig trucks going into a massive slaughterhouse in Canada. So animals are suffering everywhere, and we need to do what we can. But my own personal sustainable activism, having been arrested for duck rescue 4 years ago and facing a potential 10-year prison sentence, which was luckily just knocked down to no conviction and a probation period, I found it more sustainable to move into the system side of things and trying to build long-term structures that can hopefully really make a difference.
Thank you very much. And yes, rest in peace, Regan. And also, speaking of live export, Jill Phipps, a woman in the UK many years ago, was killed by a truck that was bringing calves from the dairy industry to be shipped into live export, which I think goes to the Middle East from the UK. And we mentioned Regan Russell, and she lost her life on Juneteenth, 2020, and she was run over by a slaughter truck at a vegan demo, a vegan rally, a vegan protest at the slaughterhouse. That brings us back to political activism. So your work with Animal Justice Party New Zealand is on that successful avenue to bring that change for animal liberation, which of course results in a world of peace and harmony for all beings, human and otherwise, in this world.
Definitely. In politics, a lot of people are turned off by politics. We live in a polarized world. We see that often people think nothing's ever going to change. And I think America is a good example of a different political system, where it seems like, if you don't vote Republican or Democrat parties, are you wasting your vote? We get the same argument here, the same argument's been made in a lot of countries. Things are too tight. We have to vote for one of the big parties to keep the evil other party out of power, whatever side of the fence you're on. I believe the opposite. I think that that you're wasting your vote if you vote on big parties. If there's a party that's close to your values, you've got one vote, you've got a voice to speak. A lot of people are disillusioned, don't even bother voting anymore. And I think that's a shame. There are alternatives out there. There's even the Humane Party in the United States with Brandy Walt, who's running for power, running as a presidential candidate, likely a write-in candidate in almost all the states. We need to support these things. We need to vote for our values. And most of all, you know, get out there and vote. Don't waste your votes on the big parties. Nobody's going to thank you for giving another vote to the Democrats or the Republicans. Seek out, you know, alternatives. There are other political alternatives too. There are ballot initiatives in Colorado and California to ban fur and to ban slaughterhouses. And getting out there and voting in those states on those particular issues, making your voice heard. If the voice for the animals is not recorded at the ballot box in any way, then, you know, the powers that be will continue to think that that our voices don't matter. So there is traction to be made. Get out there, seek out stuff in your area, and consider running. You know, get out there and look at, we should be looking at running candidates wherever we can. Getting that name on the ballot box just gives so much impetus. And while it might seem to be a big thing to look at running yourself or to getting involved with the party, you know, look at volunteering. There's a role for everyone. It could be as simple as sharing posts in social media groups or raising money or doing admin. You don't need to necessarily, you know, put your name on the ballot personally, but people can help in many ways. And for the AJP, we do take foreign members. We'd love to have some foreign members. We're very limited in the number and the amount of donations that we can accept from overseas, but, you know, currently we're looking for people to support us to try to bootstrap ourselves up. We don't come from a money base. We're all 100% volunteers, and we have our website, animaljustice.org.nz, and we're on Instagram as well. There are other parties out there in Europe, such as the Party for the Animals in the Netherlands is very, very strong. There's an Animal Political Foundation, which is supporting the growth of parties around the world. There's the Australian Animal Justice Party. There's so many options.
We're listening to Rob McNeil. Rob is joining us via Skype in New Zealand. Rob McNeil is the Executive President and Treasurer of the Animal Justice Party, New Zealand. You're tuned into Vegan Nation. I'm your host, Molly Narrow, in Worcester, Massachusetts. We'll be taking a short break, and then we'll continue with our program, including vegan music and more conversation with Rob McNeil. Welcome back from the break. Thank you very much for tuning in to Vegan Nation. I'm your host, Marlene in Massachusetts. Now we'll continue our conversation with Rob McNeil. Thank you, Rob. Thank you very much, and to, again, your team at Animal Justice Party, New Zealand.
Thank you for the opportunity.
Rob, it's exciting to know that AJP, Animal Justice Party, New Zealand, had 17 candidates in the elections in 2023. Is there anyone you'd like to highlight?
Yes, well, certainly our candidates were last minute, so we didn't have money or time to really mount big campaigns. But one that I would like to highlight would be Sandra Kyle. She's a member of our executive committee and also a longtime activist. Goes down to her local slaughterhouse every week with her stepladder and climbs up and sings to the mother cows all the cows that are waiting for slaughter the next day. They're kept in pens overnight, just off the road. She sings to them and gives them comfort and highlights their situation on social media. She's done some amazing street activism.
Hello, babies.
Here's Sandra Kyle.
There's a large rainbow in the sky. They'll be standing and the rain tonight.
Now I'd like to share a Sandra Kyle song with you.
Hello, babies. Hello, babies.
She's outside the slaughterhouse wall.
Om Jayanti Mangala Kali Bhadrakali Kapalini Durga Kshama Shiva Dhatri Svaha Svadha Namostute Jayatvam Devi Shamunde Jaya Bhutati Harini Jaya Sabhagate Vidravi Vidha Arade Namaha Rupam Dei Jayam Dei Yasha Dei Shoujai Mahisas Sura Nanasi Bhaktanam Shukade Namaha Rupam Dei Jayam Dei Yasha Dei Dvisha Shumbhasya Ivanis Umbhyasya Dumvaksasya Samadini Rupam Dei Jayam Dei Yasho Dei Dvisho doesn't rain tonight. The rainbow seems to have gone. See goes. It's all right, babies. It's all right, babies. I'll be here for a little while with you. You're not alone. You're not alone, babies.
Singing a Blessing to the Cows Waiting at the Slaughterhouse, New Zealand, by Sandra Isobel Kyle, March 17th, 2024.
And now she's also a political candidate and working hard on developing policies and developing our team, working as our volunteer coordinator as well. She did also develop the moniker of the Singing Vegan, in a bunch of national articles over the years because of her kind of singing and giving comfort to the animals waiting for slaughter.
The Singing Vegan, thank you. And we know that animals love music.
Yeah, she's a very peaceful person, and it's an amazing thing to witness.
Yeah, that means a lot to them.
She's a good soul. She has a very calm, very peaceful kind of presence. For someone in her 70s, she does an incredible amount of continued work. She just won't slow down.
Power. Rob, how about you personally? How have you been involved both with street activism and now being involved politically?
Probably like many of your listeners, I cut my teeth getting involved with grassroots organizations, specifically SAVE in Canada, where I was living for a period. Getting given a sign, coming out to a vigil, then at different times ran a chapter for DXE in London, Ontario, Canada, and also a chapter for AV, along with other leaders, co-ran those teams. Have the greatest respect for the grassroots efforts that still go on all over the planet.
Thank you, Rob. Rob, could you give us a little bit more detail? And this is applicable to activists and all animal liberation activists worldwide, of street activism, but also what is happening with laws.
Sure. Specifically, this is almost exactly the anniversary of Regan Russell's passing. She was a 40-year-long veteran of street activism who died under the wheels of a pig truck in Canada, literally 48 hours after the government had passed an ag gag bill, which limited or removed liability for truckers that hurt protesters. So a tragic waste. And honestly, it was part of my own journey. Like many others, dropped everything when we heard that there'd been an accident and rushed to the scene and got to witness just the tragic loss of an amazingly powerful, beautiful voice for animal rights. And it definitely helped me think my thinking about my own move from street activism and how we could do things systemically to look through a system lens and try to change the system.
Singing mantra to animals at slaughterhouse. March 20th, 2021. Sandra Isobel Kyle, New Zealand. About ag-gag laws for those who might not be familiar with it.
Sure, ag-gag laws are generally designed to gag activists to stop them highlighting what's going on in the animal agriculture industry. There's been a number of them that have been brought in different states, in the United States even, and then many of them have been struck down afterwards as being unconstitutional. But basically, it's the power of the animal agriculture industry using legal means to limit whistleblowers or limit people's ability to interact with farm animals and expose the truth of what's going on in the animal industry. And again, to me, the existence of these laws, which are passed by politicians, they're always passed by politicians, highlights the need for political activism so that these guys can't get together in quiet rooms and pass laws without spokespeople for the animals being present to speak up for them.
And again, I appreciate your political activism, and one of the things I think is most mind-boggling to me, especially in 2024, of how all the animal exploitation industries, both with animal ag and in laboratories, the military laboratories, chemical, biomedical, and pharmaceutical, is so horrific, and yet it's all hidden, sealed up behind cement walls, barbed wire. Nobody can have access, and yet here this is going on in universities a lot here and funded by taxpayer dollars here with the governmental agencies, including the NIH. And so do you have laboratories in operation in New Zealand?
We have significant efforts to stop animal testing, which does definitely go on in New Zealand and all around the world. Animal testing is a scourge on the world. Mm-hmm. The full name of our party is the Animal Justice Party Aotearoa New Zealand. Aotearoa is a Maori word. We have a very strong indigenous population here. The Maori people are very proud people, and we are very proud of the heritage and supporting indigenous rights here in New Zealand as well.
Lovely. Lovely. Beautiful. Thank you.
Thank you. I really, really appreciate this opportunity, and I love the work that you do. And please keep on doing it, Marlene.
Okay, thanks again, Rob.
Okay, thank you, Marlene. Have a great day
you
or
too.
A great evening.
Yes, thanks.
Okay. Cheers. Take care. Thanks.
Bye.
Bye-bye.
Well, that was a great pleasure to be joined by Rob McNeil, the executive president of Animal Justice Party New Zealand. One can visit animaljustice.org.nz for more information. Much thanks to all our listeners for tuning in to Vegan Nation. I'm your host, Marlene, in Massachusetts. Please join us again next week at the same time. You can hear this program again at vegansradio.com. Much thanks to Sandra Kyle for her music. During the break, we heard the piano music of Will Tuttle, the Duck Song, and the other keyboard music was by Sandra Kyle. Here's Sandra speaking at NARD 14, National Animal Rights Day, the first Sunday in June 2024, Auckland, New Zealand.
Slaughterhouses are abominations. The anguished cries of innocents go unheard, muffled by the roar of passing traffic and the indifference of the general public. In slaughterhouses, we see the roots of war. It doesn't have to be like this. And like the animals we enslave, we have free will. We can choose to, and we can choose not to. We can change, and we can do more. For the animals we memorialize at this cenotaph today, we are sounding a clarion call to arms, not dominance, but arms that pick up, rescue, comfort, feed, soothe, and heal. Not arms that launch a rocket or shoot a rifle, but arms that tear down, create, and build better alternatives to the status quo. We will put an end, once and for all, to the undeclared war on animals. In this movement, we are laying the foundations for a better world. What will that world look like? A vegan world will be a much more compassionate, just, and healthier place. And not only animals will benefit from the change. And a vegan world, in cutting out the secondary production of animal agriculture, will feed the nearly 700 million people who go hungry every year. The slaughterhouses have crumbled. Lab cages are empty. They are only sanctuaries, not zoos. Shelters, not breeders. Plant living, not animal skins. A vegan world will lead to a world without war. But to bring it about, we must consciously call forth the highest part of ourselves.
Sandra Isabel Kyle, speaking at the Auckland NARD, National Animal Rights Day, the first Sunday in June 2024. Snippet of her speech, and much thanks to Animal Justice Party New Zealand for this recording.
To supporting the work of our wonderful new Party for Animals, the Animal Justice Party of Aotearoa New Zealand, with which I am so proud to be associated.
And let's go out with another song by Sandra Kyle. This is Marlene wishing you a safe and pleasant day.
This is a simple version of the Turkish March, and I hope you enjoy it.
I envisage a time when every man, woman, and child on earth lights a candle to ask forgiveness from the animals. We share the same mysterious life force within them that animates us. In this most profound sense, animals are just like us. Animal liberation equals human evolution. To unbelievers, I say, let us say. To those who respect and obey, I say, let us know. We're coming through.
Thanks again for tuning in to Vegan Nation.